Network. Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
The Rosebank oil field northwest of Shetland has been granted development and production consent. They say consent has been given by the oil and gas regulator to owners Equinor and Ithaca Energy. A committee of MPs say that a more consistent approach to fines for parents whose children are absent from school is needed. The Education Select Committee say there should also be better support for pupils with mental health difficulties and those with special educational needs. Suella Braverman said the current international framework governing refugee status, including the UN Accord, was contributing to a system that was incentivizing millions of asylum seekers to, she says, try their luck.
Now, I'm here in America to talk about a critical and shared global challenge, uncontrolled and illegal migration. It's an existential challenge for the political and cultural institutions of the West.
And finally, Delian grocery manager Amos was the first contestant to be eliminated from the new series of Bake Off. The episode also saw Alison Hammond's debut as co-host. That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Ricky Williams.
Some things just add some play to your day. Catching the toast as it pops out of the toaster. Dancing down the street to your favourite playlist. Wearing your sparkly boots to the shop. And best of all, picking the new red scratch card.
A red scratch card, please. Thank you.
And doing your own drum roll. This is exciting. Add some play to your day with scratch cards from the National Lottery. Search Dream Big, Play Small. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Coming up, The Business Mix Show.
With UK Export Finance, I'm fulfilling more export orders from around the world with working capital support.
Export insurance means I'll get paid when exporting to challenging markets.
At UK Export Finance, we believe no viable UK export should fail for lack of finance or insurance. Between 2022 and 2023, we provided £6.5 billion of government-backed trade finance to support UK exports. Learn how we could help you win export contracts, fulfil orders and get paid. Search UK Export Finance today.
Peacock USA Easy Cook Rice are giving away 10% extra. Peacock USA Easy Cook Long Grain Rice is easy to cook, giving you consistent quality and fluffy separate grains every time. Peacock USA Easy Cook Rice has a subtle flavour, making it an excellent accompaniment to many of your favourite dishes. Great for jollof rice or jerk chicken. Enjoy Peacock USA Rice now with 10% extra. Easy cooking, easy eating, every time. Offer available while stocks last. Promotion supported by USA Rice.
Hi, I'm Dr. Emmanuel Aiko. The early signs of a heart attack can vary. The most common include squeezing across the chest, a feeling of unease, and a sense that something just isn't right. It can be easy to dismiss the early signs of a heart attack, as the symptoms don't always feel severe. It's never too early to call 999 and describe your symptoms. Your NHS is here for you.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com. and apps. This is Colorful Radio,
The Business Mix Show.
Good morning, a good afternoon, and a very good evening to you. It is Christine, and I am on The Business Mix. So is my co-host Rachel. Welcome, Rachel.
Welcome. Welcome to another Business Mix Show here on Colourful, where we aim and strive to bring you the best in all things black business. How have you been? I'm asking a question, but I can hear it.
Yeah, you haven't got the best of me today, girl. not today, but we continue to strive and move forward. Yes, I've had a really exciting couple of weeks. She and I went to Texas, Houston. Had a really good time there. We're doing an event there, and I've come back, and I've been busy. Busy. It's been events. So, that's hence the cold, I think. What about you, my love?
I've been, actually, while you were away in Texas, I was in sunny London because we had...
Yes, heat waving, right?
We did. So I made the best usage of my garden and my garden furniture. before it needs to get packed away again. But that's it. It's almost, well and truly finished.
No, it hasn't. It hasn't. The sun's still shining. We will absorb it until. Yes.
Don't mind looking forward to the winter months, the cozier.
I like cozy, right?
No longer, we're not going to be saying we outside. I'm like, we inside.
I drag you outside in the winter every now and again. You know we must. Yeah. But yeah.
Great. Yeah, so there's a lot of events coming up, a lot of business kind of events that are happening in terms of some workshops, seminar conferences. And I'm really pleased that today we get to speak about an award show.
Yes, we love an award show. We haven't been to one for ages, but we love an award show.
Any award shows happening and, you know, you're looking for...
Please, invite us.
You can invite us. We can put on our frock and our heels.
Yes, we scrub up well.
So I'm really, really pleased today to introduce to you basically the founders of the annual UK Caribbean Food Awards. And don't worry if you've not heard about this before, because we're bringing you an exclusive, because this is the first year. So we're really, really pleased to introduce Dawn Burton and Marsha Barnett, who are the founders of this award. Hi. Hi, ladies.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
We're good.
Yeah, well, thanks.
Fantastic. So thank you for joining us today. We are really, really kind of like want to hear all about this the award show, how it started, why, how can people get involved, and I think it's something really important that we're going to be talking about, is actually celebrating our culture, celebrating that Black, not only I guess the business side of things, but actually who we are, our heritage, culture as well. And it's quite interesting that a lot of the time we get kind of Afro-Caribbean culture, but this is specifically Caribbean culture. So it's a great, something to actually talk about and discuss, I think. So it would be great. Just introduce yourselves, ladies. I know I've given your names away already, but just tell us a bit about who you are and what you do maybe outside of the award show.
Well, my name is Dawn Burton, and I work with Marsha on the UK Caribbean Food Awards. We also have another business called the Caribbean Food Collective. So we're working on that as well. That will launch early next year. So that supports, connects and promotes UK-based Caribbean food businesses. I'm also training to be a speaker and a mentor, and I run a catering business as well.
Thank you. And Marsha, a question for you. How did you two come together? Do you know each other in the past life, or you guys just met?
It's quite interesting. I ran a restaurant for 10 years in Roehampton, Caribbean food restaurant, and I decided to get out of the kitchen and do some networking. So I went to a networking event, and Dawn was there as the same sort of business as mine. So I had a whole list of contacts, and I was like, this lady, she's not going to want to talk to me because she got the same business. So I thought, well, I'll call her anyway. So I called her, and she came to my business, and we chatted, because I was starting to realise that having a business in our industry, there's not any help for us. I went to a trade show and I saw like the Association of Mauritian Restaurants, and I just was really interested in what they were what they were doing, and they were like, well, have you got a Mauritian restaurant? I was like, oh no, I haven't. And then I thought, well, where do I go for help with my Caribbean restaurant? And upon further investigation, there was nowhere. And when I met Dawn, I was explaining this to her, and then the Caribbean Food Collective was born, which we launched in 2019.
Okay, so you both got a background in food and catering, so that's where I guess the passion started.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fantastic.
So what was it, when was the light bulb moment that you kind of, obviously you kind of connected, and then you had this moment that was like, actually, why don't we create an award for Caribbean food, Caribbean caterers within the industry? How did that come about, and what was it that kind of pushed you towards that moment?
I don't know, Marsha. I mean, probably both can share on this, because when I came to Marsha's restaurant and we spoke about the Caribbean Food Collective, I think my light bulb bulb moment was when I tasted Marsha's dumplings. Yeah. They were fantastic. That's when we thought she was frying some dumplings and, you know, they were lovely and we were talking and we thought, we've got the birth of the Food Collective. And I think over the years, Marsha, as we got that together and we started to visit other groups of cuisines together, we went to a lot of award shows for other cuisines.
But I don't know if you remember what happened after that. After that, Wandsworth, but Dawn's business and my business was based in Wandsworth Borough, and Wandsworth had an enterprise month and there was a foodie event, and it ended up being Dawn, myself and Juicy Jerk as well. They were there.
Okay.
So it was a food event, but we were the free Caribbean food business. Yeah. So there was, you know, jam suppliers, other foods, but so when we spoke, just as the three of us, our needs were different to the rest of them. And when I spoke to the other business, they said yes, and we spoke to somebody else that's in the food industry, Jane Milton.
Yes,
you know, everybody we spoke to just said it is missing, and you know, when I had my business, to find a chef, to find a supplier, to find, you literally, it's like finding a needle in a haystack. I mean you do it in the end, but there's no sort of route of how do you do this. You just have to buck your toe and hope for the best.
Yeah, find your way. And so also I'm just just reading through kind of like the information that you've sent over and learning a bit more about what you do. The market is massive. It's so big in terms of, like you said, like worth more than £100 million kind of like in the UK for this market alone. So it feels like, you know, this has been a long time coming, as it were. That, as you said, there are lots of different award shows and kind of like collectives out there, but something that is specifically niche for Caribbean food caterers, I think, as I said, is a long time coming. So thank you, ladies, for being the ones that have standing up and kind of like making this happen. So I guess, so you've spoken a little bit about it, but I wonder a bit more. You've spoken a bit about the challenges in terms of catering, but I guess challenges in terms of you guys coming together and creating the collective and now the award show. I'd be really interested to know, like, what have you found most challenging trying to set all that up, and how have you managed to navigate any of those challenges?
I would say, I don't know if you agree. Businesses to support us, but I understand it, because I understand from the business side, it's not easy running businesses in this industry. Mm. It's you know, you're on your feet all the time. You're constantly trying to cover your cash flow. It's not an easy feat. I think if we had more support and more information and education around running a business, it would be, because I think a lot of people don't have. I never even worked in a restaurant before I ran my restaurant. So it's, you are really literally on a learning, I call it a learning bend. It's not a curve, it's a 90 degree like bend.
Rock off the edge.
So some of the things that I found from running my business, I just felt like, do other businesses know this? So sometimes, like, I would like to have everything on the menu. Here's an example. And I found that when you have everything on the menu, people buy more because they've got more choice. And how many times you go to a Caribbean food shop and, oh, we don't have it. Mm. But I'm like, do these businesses know that actually they would make more money if they had, it's just simple things are like that. Sometimes they would have more money if they, like, more sales if they just had everything available. Or just take it off the menu then. Fine, you haven't got it, but you don't have to advertise it, because then when you say we don't have it, it's not, you know, it's not helpful for your sales.
No. I think Marsha's right, because one thing we found that it's difficult, as Marsha said. I mean, I've got a strong sales and marketing background, and one of the things we find with a lot of businesses, whether they're making cakes or rum slushies or rum punches or sauces or restaurants or whatever, marketing for them is really, really hard.
Yeah.
So when we're trying to explain to them, you know, do you want a 2% increase on your market share? What would that mean in pounds and pence? And they think, oh, actually, but then they don't know how, or are scared to take the risks to get there. So I think sometimes understanding marketing would be really useful. A lot of UK Caribbean food businesses don't understand, and therefore may make a lot of money on a Saturday night, Friday night with their takeaway, or may do well on that market stall. But what about looking seasonally? What about targeting your campaign to make sure that you are using all your revenue streams and you're busy all year round, if you're serious about business?
Another thing is looking at your menu, which dish brings you the most profit. Ackee was costing nearly £10 a tin. You're not getting it off a tree in your back garden, so it is. and I say that because my nan used to have a ackee tree in her back garden. We used to have ackee tree, so we were fed up of it, like, just, oh god, more ackee. But to say that they're putting it in a tin and charging the £10, is, you know, but then is that your most profitable dish, and should you have everything all on the menu all on the same date? I mean, it's just little things that I think sometimes if a lot of other businesses, so Just Eat took us under their wing, and we went to all different award ceremonies, and they have support for their businesses, and there's no support for ours. And so I think the collective is to try and put a structure in place for our businesses. But we're going to start with the awards by just getting everyone under one roof, suppliers, producers, businesses, and just get them. We did a networking event when I had my restaurant before lockdown, and we had 28 businesses came, and we networked, and it was amazing. And it's not reinventing the wheel. It's not nothing no other business does. It's just that
our business. We need to talk together and share information. We don't network.
No, I think we do kind of, and that's not just, this isn't just for black restaurants or caterers, but a lot of the times we work independently, where actually we can collaborate as not necessarily being competition, for example, because like you said, you might have the one business that their biggest revenue stream is, I don't know, it might be, like you said, the Friday, Saturday night takeaway, and then you've got another business and their biggest revenue stream or income is actually like sit down meals, restaurants. Actually, you could still work together. You're not necessarily encroaching on each other's customers. You know, it's not about, oh, taking this person's customer. It's actually, like you said, there's a lot of knowledge in that room, just with those 28 businesses, the amount of years of experience, suppliers that you knowledge that you have in that room that can be shared. And there's
I think you only have to look at the black owned Hackney markets. Look how that's taken off.
Absolutely.
Everyone collaborate, they're not necessarily Caribbean, but they're all collaborating as black food businesses and artists and jewelry makers, and that's amazing to see that they all can be under one space, and you know, all that revenue circulates between those businesses that are there, and that's amazing.
Yeah. And I've always looked at it. I don't know if anyone's been, I think, do you know that Streatham High Road is the longest high road in Europe? I don't know if you knew this. But if you count how many chicken and chip shops is on that road.
Oh gosh.
And you know what it is? There's enough pie for everyone. One person might like this one for that one. One person might like the other, but it's not competition.
It's like the coffee shops. The coffee shops are the same. You'll get Starbucks, you've got Costa, you'll all line up in a row. They've all got a piece of the pie. Everybody likes their certain lattes. Everybody likes their certain chai teas or whatever. And there's space for all of them. And we need to understand that kind of model.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's also about getting into the councils. I always say this about high streets and how the high street is changing, and you know, licenses and making sure people get that route into these empty spaces, because otherwise all you're seeing is betting shops and chicken and chip shops when there's room for so much more. But anyway, you mentioned the awards. Please, Dawn, tell us a bit about the awards and what we can expect, and what was the kind of idea behind it?
Well, Marsha and I, mainly Marsha, we went to the Kebab Awards, Marsha went to the Fish and Chip Awards.
Rich, we're missing out. We are missing out on these awards.
Actually, Marsha did the Kebab Awards and the Fish Awards on the same day. So that was amazing. Wow. That was a whole day thing. We've been to the British Restaurant Awards, which was Just Eat Awards now. We've been to the Curry Life Awards. We've been to the Gokwan. It's the Golden Chopstick Awards. There's all these award ceremonies. And as Marsha said, Just Eat really allowed us to go along to all these events to see how the other founders were doing it. Some have been doing it for years and years. This is our first year. So we've kind of taken the best of all of them and made them into what we want. So we have a brilliant event company, and we will have a 5-star night at the Grosvenor Marriott Square Hotel in Mayfair. Yeah. Red carpet entrance. Photographers there taking your pictures. You come in. We've got welcome drinks. We'll have a carnival theme reception. We'll have entertainment. We'll have a three-course Caribbean dinner, which Marsha and myself have tasted quite a few times now. So we've made sure that it's going to be the business. We'll have support from a fantastic charity that Marsha's also involved with. And they're doing a raffle and they're a black charity. So we're supporting them on the night as well. We'll have two fantastic hosts who are media celebrities, black media celebrities, co-hosting the show. We'll have some VIPs, some celebrities there. Of course, all the important finalists that have submitted their entries. We'll have entertainment throughout the dinner as well, and maybe a little bit of an after party when everybody's got their awards and they're all happy.
Wow. So was it after kind of going to all these different other awards, kebab, fish, curry?
No.
What about us? Where's
that? That's what we thought. We thought, you know, and how do we do this? We looked how they, you know, some of them had over 1,000 guests there. We decided that we didn't want that. Some of them did them, you know, the settings were all very different. Some of them had, you know, Paddy McGuinness was holding one of them. You know, how much does he cost to host a show? Mm-hmm. Was that in our budget? All these things. And we took the very best from all of them. And we were very lucky to speak to the Golden Chopstick Awards, which is Gok Wan is the co-founder. And he was excellent and referred us to his management, his event management team. And, you know, that we've been working with them for the last 2 years now, making sure that our event can be the very, very best.
I want to take it from a business side. Something the bakeries that I used to use for my restaurant, they've been around from probably before I was at school, about 30 years. That was Mixed Blessings, and I think they work so hard. Yeah. If you look at some of these businesses, they've been going for years, and it's like obviously they're doing it to make a living, but I just think to celebrate and have a time where you just actually look at how hard you're working. They work really hard. It's not easy work getting up at the crack of dawn baking stuff to sell. It's not easy, but they do it. And you know, it, you know, Easter you see the queues out the
for the
wine and cheese. It's not easy work. If you sit down or watch how they work, it's hard work, and there's no
hard.
I think we need to celebrate that. We kind of taking it for advantage, and they do this through adversity. When I had my business, it wasn't easy, and sometimes I used to think, like, the people that came before me in terms of you know, the generations before us, we have to do this in order to allow the generations after us to run business.
Absolutely.
If it's our food, we should be able to run it and run it properly as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's Richard why I said originally, you know, you for being the kind of pioneers for this, and kind of being the first that we've heard of. Not to say that nobody hasn't tried to do this before in the past, or perhaps on a smaller scale, but, you know, taking over a 5-star hotel for the night in Mayfair to celebrate Caribbean food, I've not heard of that before. So yeah, and hopefully this will be something that is going to be longevity. It's going to be year on year. It's only going to be bigger, and it's only going to
get better.
And sometimes people need to remember that this is the first. So it's not necessarily going to be what you thought it was going to be, but guess what we can do? We can give our feedback, we can give our constructive feedback, we can be like, oh, maybe this, maybe that, but let's try and let's be supportive and let's build up where we can, as opposed to, you know what?
The usual,
usual. I'm not going to say the usual, I'm not going to do us like that. I don't think it's the usual, but it does happen. For example, talking about food, the brothers that have, you know, done great with Original Flavor. If you watch their journey, like where they've come from, how they started, how they've got restaurant in Brixton, and some of the comments that I saw, like, for their first week opening, I was like, they've just opened. Like what? They've literally just opened. Give them space. Give them room. You know.
I think it's just like we like this now, especially with social media. We like to do that, but actually, sometimes it does them more good than bad. You know, these comments, because then people still are going. People want to sub, but actually, that as they get better, they keep coming. They're going to get better and better and better. So you make
absolutely. You're always going to get those comments that aren't positive, and that's how business is. And we recognize that both in my catering business, in Marsha's and restaurant and catering business. And you know, with what we're trying to achieve now, I think one of the first comments we've got from a black food business was, what do you want to do that for? I've tried doing it before and it didn't work, so why do you want to do it? Just concentrate on doing another, this and not
there's
that.
Another reason for doing it as well, because just stuff about just owning our food, people like the jerk rice incident, you know, and IKEA did rice and peas with the green peas, somebody missed the memo. There's nobody speaking on our food, so this is why. I mean, they would never do that in some other cultures with their food, they just wouldn't, but there's nobody that sort of keeps
advocates
our food
for our advocates. Food I mean, even on, there was a show on TV, I won't name which one, and the presenter who was making the dish, beautiful jerk kebabs. I mean, we don't have jerk kebabs in Jamaica, but hey, you know, if you want to do jerk kebabs, that's fine. Yeah. But when one of the contributors asked, you know, what is jerk? Is it the seasoning or is it the way you cook it? The actual presenter who was on Weekly said he didn't know. He didn't know. He asked one of a Michelin-trained chef that was on the panel.
And he didn't know.
He didn't know.
But it tastes nice in a kebab.
It tastes nice in a kebab, which isn't Jamaican. So these are the kind of things that, you know, are not good. We don't mind you being diversified with the food, but know a little bit more about it. Give us that respect. You know, Jamaica tried to trademark jerk because it was being misused so many times.
Yeah.
And you can see why. We're unable to do that through trademarking rules. But you can see why when people do this to our food and then, you know, have a show on Sunday, Saturday morning with all the viewers, but you don't even know the origin of the word.
Can I ask a question? Sorry. So, and this is, again, this is no criticism. It's just an observation and just something that I wonder, what's your take on it? A lot of time when we talk about Caribbean food, it's Jamaican. Mm. Yeah. And like, actually, there's so many different islands, so many different cultures. But the thing that I love is all kind of a take on one another. So it's all very familiar, but actually it's all very different. So I just wondered, how have you done, what are your thoughts on that? And is there anything that you're doing to kind of like, I mean, I would love, sorry, I'm going into one now, but who's been
you to are basically
that restaurant, that the restaurant in Croydon, I've forgotten what it's called. You go upstairs and it's like Asian food. It's like every food from around the world. I don't even know. But it's like
I know which one. Yeah.
Like a pan Asian kind of buffet. I would love to have a pan Caribbean kind
of Rachel.
I could go get out there if I want. You know,
let's get the rotis. Yes. Get the rotis, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be amazing.
Rachel, you've got a trademark that idea because that one there.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. We do. And this was one of the reasons why, you know, Caribbean food doesn't mean Jamaican. It doesn't mean, it doesn't mean jerk chicken and rice and peas. We did a bit of work with Just Eat. Was it last year, Marshall, when they wanted to feature carnival, the other types of food? So we got together with them and we looked at some recipes and some businesses out there that were doing things other than jerk chicken and rice and peas. So it's really important that, yes, as you said, it's not just about Jamaican food. There's a whole wealth of food out there. And we definitely want to make sure that it's represented with the collective and in the awards.
Yes.
Dawn, the represent our categories as well. That's why we included South American. We've even got African Eatery as well, nominations.
We decided to add those because as a homage to African food, a lot of the Caribbean food has African history.
Absolutely.
And whilst we don't know enough about African food, hence being called the Caribbean Food Awards, there is another awards out there. I think they're African Caribbean. We don't know enough and we don't want to be disrespectful to Africans and all the different the, all the different countries that have a wealth of food. So we've got a homage to African food with the African Eatery Award, as we do with the Latin American Award.
And the Latin American, yeah. So we yeah. are sort of aware that it's not just jerk chicken and...
So, which leads on nicely. Tell us to some of the categories. I don't know if you, are you allowed to tell us what some of the
five yes.
are. I'm not oh. sure, but okay. yeah, no, we what give us a flavor. Get it? of some of the categories that
jerk or fry flavor, not really.
So we have the best restaurant or the. The UK Carrot, the National Restaurant Awards. So we've not put the best because those that haven't made the finalists, we're not yes. saying you're not best. We're just saying the judges have decided that you're the ones that deserve the award. So right. we've kind of taken that word out. But for the sake of conversation, so we've got a restaurant award, takeaway, vegan, vegetarian. We've mm. got rum. We've got alcoholic award, non-alcoholic award, rum cake awards. So the best Ooh. Person that makes rum cake. And we've got the Outstanding Chef of the Year. We've got a Media Personality. We've got Lifetime Achievement. We've got the African Eatery Award and also the Latin American category. And those are the Latin American countries that mainly border onto the Caribbean Sea. We're talking yeah. about mainly those ones. Yeah. yeah, we've got those categories. I think that covers it, isn't it, Marsha? They're the categories. About 14 categories we have that will be featured on the night.
My gosh, it sounds like I like I said, I just love the when I hear about ideas that come from kind of maybe we should do this, perhaps we should do that, and then into the inception of it.
Yeah, yeah, we're doers, we're not talkers, we're doers.
Something else that we haven't spoken about actually is a part of the Caribbean Food Collective. Dawn and I sat on a panel for the British Takeaway Campaign, which is a panel of independent business owners. There's a big panel for the big companies like the chains, mm-hmm. but for the independent food owners, and Dawn and I represent Caribbean food on that and spoken to ministers over lockdown about what businesses were going through with prices,
business rates and stuff.
Business rates and
VAT.
Utility rates and stuff, but we are continuing to do that. It's changing into the Independent Hospitality Alliance, and we will continue to represent Caribbean food. So this is why as well we want to structure all the businesses, get everybody together so we can have a voice.
Yeah. At the moment politically, if there's any laws that are changing, we'd be omitted, we wouldn't have a clue, and Caribbean businesses perhaps not know where to go if there's change in VAT or things that affect their business rates. Who do you speak to about that? Well, we are now the official voice that will have access to speak to government, etc.
And I love that because all I'm I wanted to ask you about your partnership with Just Eats and how did that come about, how has that gone for you, because it seems like they've taken you on board as a spokespeople and it sounds great, but how have you found that journey? And now you're talking about being the voice politically. Yeah, how have you found that? And what has that meant to you guys too?
I think it's been amazing. I know Marsha's got a lot on this because Marsha works very closely with the Independent Hospitality Association, which is the small associations that speak on our behalf. But it was mainly over lockdown when we saw various different companies all of a sudden after the awful murder of George Floyd talked about how much racial injustice there were, what they were going to do to make sure that this didn't happen in their big organizations, what they were going to do to make sure that, a percentage of their board members or work staff were treated fairly and that they would employ more Black people, and they put tons of money here and there. And, when it was locked down, there wasn't much to do apart from watch the 5 o'clock updates on COVID and look on your phone. So I was looking at all these food businesses pledging what they would do. And I, Ray and Nephew, who we work closely as well with now, they all said what they were going to do and, the injustices. And I basically got in touch with them and said, well, how are you going to do this? Mm. When are you going to do this? How long for? Is it just for May when he died? Is it to the end of the year? Is it all the time? When is this going to happen? What are your plans to do this? We contacted all the companies that made pledges about what they were going to do to make sure there were no social or racial injustices for their Black employees. Mm. And we told them we would be watching them and holding them to account. Really? And that's exactly what we did. So Just Eats came off very well. There's two other delivery platforms we have a strong contact with as well. You probably know them. And also Ray and Nephew, who have an unfortunate history with slave ownership. So yeah, we've held them account, and they've done
we did achieve a category for the Caribbean food, because they won the British Takeaway Awards, and when I had my restaurant, I entered, but then I stopped because when you enter under Caribbean, you'd have to go under other, like you'd have Chinese.
There was no Caribbean.
No Caribbean.
We had to take the other box. We were othered again.
So when we were having these chats, I was like, could you just tell me why we have to? You've got Caribbean food restaurants on your platform. Why do we have to go under other? And funnily enough, they did even have a winner that was a Caribbean chef, the one from Croydon. Do you remember?
Yes, I did.
Year they did even have a Caribbean winner. So I was like, why do we have to go? Because I stopped entering because I just kind of thought it wasn't for me. Anyway, they did call us back and said, oh, you've got a category now. But that just highlights is representation. It's just that there's no one speaking for us. We just overlooked.
And they're making a lot of money. As we said, 100 million, and that's growing. 100 million. Is what the Black and the Caribbean food business brings to the UK economy in the source market. Forget about food, it's over £1 billion.
Wow.
And if you look at recent reports, Heinz and tomato ketchup mayonnaise, they're going down. It's the sauces and the different kind of sauces, the spicy sauces, all of those are actually up and coming. There's actually a sauce society. And they represent all the hot sauces.
Wow. So this hot world society. Of society. You just don't know.
I'm going to go on like a rabbit hole, and there's. I think it's amazing that what you guys have done is managed to get involved in all of these kind of little
areas.
They're not even little. They're massive. But all of the best awards or societies that we just go in and we just buy. You know, we're just
buy and eat. We're the consumers. We just want to eat.
It's great to know that we have got people who are behind the scenes who are actually making sure, like you said, Marsha, that actually, if I didn't ask them, if there was nobody there to ask them, why is there an other category for Caribbean? Today, they'll still be doing the other category. So it's really, really important. I think you've kind of touched on it a bit, but I'd just like to know a little bit more. Is that what? In your kind of like ideal, perfect scenario, like what kind of impact do you want to see this particular award or the work that you're doing have on kind of the community? So whether that's the Black-owned or Caribbean restaurants, whether it's kind of like for the consumers or for the customers, for the patrons, like what impact are you hoping this will have or this will make?
I would like to see that it raises the profile of our businesses, and that we are proud, and it give them, you know, maybe they'll have a gold thing on their door saying that they're part of the collective, and you just know that there's certain standards, you know, they're gonna have everything on the menu, everything's in order, that they have standards, and that you know, even the rest of the world that are not in the Caribbean can look at us and with, you know, respect, and we can run businesses effectively.
I think that for me it would be that all the Black businesses, whether you're a beverage business making teas or rum punches or sorrel or cakes or, you know, Caribbean food or something that goes on the shelf, that you know you're worth, you're part of that 100 million pounds, you're part of that, and that can increase and that can flow more within the Black community. You can see there's a movement with the hair shops now. There's, you know, we've created a movement with the food businesses, and we want the UK pound or the Black pound to flow more within our businesses. Know your worth, know your excellence. Let's uphold and elevate those companies that are doing good, and let's show other people in the UK that we value and we have excellence, and we're going to show it off and say, this is how much it's worth to you guys. What are you going to do when it comes to your spend as a Black consumer or a white consumer? If this is the best of Black excellence, do you want to be a part of that? So we want other businesses to say, you know, if that's what the level I can achieve, and that's the maybe media attention I get, because we're going to be working with the media partners we have probably throughout the year to make sure that, for example, all the finalists will be featured in. We've got 8 food journalists at the award. Sainsbury's, I think Daily Mail, we've got The Grocer, we've got BBC Good Food, we've got Olive Delicious. They'll all be featured in with those. They'll all have a media package. So if other people want to be there, this is the excellence you have to strive for. You've got to make yourself visible. You've got to have certain standards. If you want to, if you've got a 2-star food hygiene rating, how do you get to a 5? Me and Marsha both had 4 and 5. So we know how to get there. We've got contacts with regards to how you can get a 4 and a 5. We've been through that, you know, analysis. So it's about elevating Black food businesses based here and showing others that, you know, if you want to be in the food business or drink business in the UK and you've got a Caribbean business, you know, that we can help and we can help you get to that excellence.
Sorry, Marsha, go ahead.
No, you go.
Okay. I was just going to ask, Dawn, you know, some of those, when you said about those that have got 2 stars and things, when you engage with those businesses, how has their interaction been? Have they been ready to kind of jump on the board with you going, yes, I want to get better? Or have they kind of been, do you know what, we're okay where we are. We get that Saturday trade and that does us.
Yeah. I think the first thing we notice is that, you know, when you pick up the phone to a Caribbean food business, I was calling all the finalists yesterday to let them know that they were finalists. And some of one of them put the phone down on me 3 times. And I was calling to congratulate them. So starting from that very beginning, how do you sound? How do you look? You know, before I even get to your restaurant, what impression have you created? If I was ordering food, I wouldn't bother with that second or third call. Mm-hmm. They didn't know who I was. It was a great call in the end when I spoke to the owner, but prior to that. So some people, it depends on what their objectives are. If they're in the business to just make food and make money and they don't care about a star rating, then, you know, we would ask them to reconsider, because you're representing the Caribbean food trade. And if you're one of those that are not doing it very well, why are you doing it? Is it just for money? We know, Marsha and myself, it's hard work. You know, if you're working at Carnival or if you've got an event to do, you know, you're waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're seasoning chicken. It's a lot of work. So yeah, if you're a level 2, you should want to get to at least a minimum 3-star rating. Because if you do get a 3-star rating, what will happen to your business? You'll get more. We all know, if you look at any order delivery menu, you may look at the star rating. And as we've had discussions, that snap minute, are you going to go for the 2-star one or the 4-star one?
Absolutely. Yeah. Or the one that's free delivery, maybe.
Yeah. I think food hygiene, though, is really important. So if they don't care about that, and I'd want to know why you're in this, what are you doing this for?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we all do. We all look at ratings. And because when you do the filter, I only want restaurants that's got 4 and above. Like, that's it. That's what you're looking at. So it's really, really, important.
But I guess on the day, the most important thing is, do those restaurants operate in a 4-star manner every day or just for the inspection? So, you know, it's a really fine line, but these are the standards we want to make sure people have in place so that they have excellence and they'll get more business if they have a healthy food hygiene rating.
Can I rally up your listeners before we go? We really, really would enjoy everybody's support. Our tickets, we've had to come in lower than the rest of the industry. So a lot of the shows that we've gone to, the Kebab Awards, their tickets are like 450.
250 and above.
250 above. And we've actually come in at the lowest. So really, we just need our people to support us in our food. And I would really just want to emphasize that, because some people, our tickets are 150, and you know, it's not even for profit, it's more to cover costs. So we would just really want people to support us and our food, just if you can.
I mean, if you go to that hotel with the menu we have, you'd be playing close to £90 for your food in a 5-star hotel like that. I mean, if you go to the Langham, where the brilliant chef Dom Taylor has a fantastic menu, very close to £80, and absolutely well worth it. So if you're a food professional, an entrepreneur, you want to achieve excellence, you're a chef and you want to network, you want to speak to these food journalists who can maybe elevate, you want to speak to some of the sponsors.
We've also got a goodie bag. You can get your stuff in front of the right people if you want. You can go to our website. We also accepting sponsors, anybody who's interested. So, I mean, just look, go to our website and really just support us. Come along if you're involved in food in any way and you want to get to speak to the right people. That night, everybody under that roof, that for your food business, whether you're making a product, whether you provide a service, I think you should come.
So what's the date?
The date is Monday the 9th of October, so not long.
Yeah.
So it will be at 6:30 in the evening. It's going to be an amazing reception. It's going to be colourful. It's going to sound very tropical. It's the first of very many. So, if you're in at this level, you'll want to come again. We have an amazing events management team that will make the night look spectacular. And we've got a lovely ambience at the hotel. We've been there before for an awards, so we know what they can do in terms of making it look glitzy and glam. So it's about getting that little black dress or that long lounge dress and your tuxedo or your tailored suit and coming out there to enjoy an evening.
And as Marcia said,
with the goodie bag, so it's ambient goods and only, no jerk chicken meals or anything like that. If you've got a sauce, you've got a marinade, or you've got a tea, or you've got a canned drink, we won't be duplicating any of these. So you can put them in the goodie bag. There is a fee because apparently it takes ages to do 400 goodie bags, and we have to pay the hotel storage of all the items that we'll be bringing in. So there is a small charge, but if you think about that charge,
it's going to go to the VIPs, it's going to go to all the journalists,
if you think about your product being in front of 400 food professionals, when would you ever get that chance to do that? You'd be paying a lot of money to do that. So our fee is minimal. Have a look at the website and we can get that information to you if you're interested.
Fantastic.
Give us the website details, let people know how they can get in touch with you, whether it's, even if it's not necessarily for the awards, but actually there's something you've mentioned that somebody thinks, I really want to get involved in that, or I'd love
definitely
to
see. Okay, so first of all, we've got the Caribbean Food Collective, so you can contact us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can also send an email to info@caribbeanfoodcollective.co.uk. Please can I stress, everyone, Caribbean has one R and two B's. Please don't misspell it. One R, two B's. For the awards, you can reach out to us on our website, which is www.ukcaribbeanfoodawards.co.uk. We're also on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Lovely.
Fantastic. Well, I'm telling you, it's been very inspiring talking to you guys. You've also made me a bit hungry. But it's been a pleasure having you guys on board today. And thank you very much. And Rachel, I think we should get dressed up and get ready to eat a free course with.
I'm going to be away. That's the
week. Oh, Rachel.
Oh, no. I would have had my ticket from a long time ago. I'm away. I'm not in the country. But you can go.
Might as well just go on my Todd. I'll enjoy the free course meal.
I think there'll be a couple of live Zooms and things like that, and Facebook Lives. And things, so you may be able to look in to see what you're missing.
There you go, Rachel.
As much as I'm excited about it, I do have a bit of, I'm not even going to be here. But you know why it's okay? Because there's going to be one next year.
Yes.
So there you go.
On for next year, so it's fine.
And I'd also say to any businesses listening as well, look out for next year, because we had loads of entrants, but a lot of entrants that I would have expected. I'm not sure if they knew about it, but so look out for next year's entrance date for the next 7 years.
Yeah,
fantastic. All right, ladies, thank you once again. It's been a pleasure having you on today, and all the best.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much, Rachel. Thank you, Chrissy.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye.
Well, Chris, you're going to have to go, and you're going to have to.
I'm going to get dressed up.
And maybe someone else in the Business Mix family can accompany
anyone who wants to, join me on the day.
Maybe
our email address is
yeah, Yeah, you keep me informed, keep me updated, yes. Send all the pictures of you dressed up and looking glam. It's kind of going, coming into kind of award conference season.
Yes,
so it's going to be quite a few more
especially
coming up.
October, yeah,
and
definitely.
We'll try and keep you informed of all of the latest award shows.
Yes.
Wow.
Fantastic.
The Business Mix Show.
And now on The Business Mix, we are... Actually, yeah, the studio is full to bursting now because we actually have an extra guest who we're really pleased to introduce and welcome to you all. And I know you know the name. So we're going to introduce the conscious, creative, social entrepreneur that is known as Tony Biola Dada. Welcome to The Business Mix.
Wow. Hello. Well, thank you.
Hello.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate being here. It's great.
All right. I feel like you're... You've been one of those I'm going to say celebrities, and I don't use that word loosely, but one of the black business celebrities who just we've always kind of been in the same room, but you've never been on the show. Like, we've never... Why have we not done this, Chrissy, before? What's happened?
I don't know, because the best is always last, isn't it?
Oh,
so
that's insane.
You know what I'm saying.
Okay, I get it. So this week, you're the best.
Okay.
Next week, there's going to be another last. But it's fine. I hear what you're saying. I like the sentiment. Yeah. Thank you for joining us. I know that you've got a absolutely great event that's coming up. Is it next week?
Yeah, it's on Monday.
It is next week, isn't it? It's coming up next week. Yeah. And before we even go into that, we just want to know a little bit about the man behind
creative
social entrepreneurship.
Wow. Well, I mean, how far do we go? I'll try and keep it really short and succinct, but the journey really started exactly 40 years ago. So 40 years ago, I made myself intentionally homeless in pursuit of my purpose, peace and happiness. And so it's been an interesting journey, let's just say that. And 10 years into that journey, or should I say actually 6 months into that journey, I met someone who became my spiritual mentor. I didn't realize it at the time, but he's still my mentor to this day. And that's really where the journey started, because I got introduced to things that you weren't being taught at school, college, or university, especially when it comes to black identity and who you are. And so that put me on the journey. So 10 years into that journey, I found myself homeless again, lost everything, including access to my children. And I mentioned that because although it was the worst experience of my life at the time, it was actually the best experience because it enabled me to really reflect and think about life and how literally in one day you can just lose everything. And so that set me on a new journey. And the journey was really about representing the underrepresented, because I also lost access to my children, which I later then, you know, we managed to resolve all of that. But it made me realize that women, young people, people of color, creatives, social entrepreneurs, they are the class of what I refer to as the underrepresented, the ones that didn't have a voice.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to use my gift, my talents and my abilities. I'm a singer-songwriter. And I wanted to use that to channel my energy and my pain at the time, you know, not being able to see my children and stuff, into something that was going to help me but also help others.
Wow.
Give it a voice. And so we started doing music showcases. My first event was on the 1st of March 1992.
Ooh, I love the recollection.
I still got the flyer. I had no money. I just had a guy just sketch out a flyer, and I just ran and got some photocopies, and that's how we started. And 6 weeks after we'd sold out at the venue, so much so that we had to move to another venue. And that's how the whole thing really started. And within a few years, we'd moved on to staging a national event, a national program. We were in effect doing X Factor in the black community from London to Birmingham to Manchester, Nottingham, Leeds, all of those kind of places. And so many artists have come through that journey, including JLS, Alexandra Burke, and a whole bunch of people. So I was doing that for 20 years, and I learned so much from young people. And one of the things that we were doing is putting some of these personal development, like spiritual principles, universal principles for success.
Yeah.
So helping people to understand that you can tap into your gifts, your talents, your abilities, and imagine being able to do that and then create a business around that. So you're doing what you love and making money from what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what we're about.
Wow.
Yeah.
Quite a journey. Okay.
It's a journey.
Okay. So, I mean, it is definitely. Now, we're so happy that you're on, and there could be many reasons why we have you on the show, but for this week, there's a particular reason why we have you on, and that is for you to tell us more about the Conscious Social Entrepreneurs Conference, which sounds like such an incredible event. Can you tell us a bit more about the inspiration behind the event and what people can expect on the big day?
Certainly. So 10 years ago, I started working with adults. And that was as a result of some young people giving me this suggestion that, you know what, adults need the help more than we do. And as I started working with adults, I've realized that actually it is the case. So the whole drive the last 10 years working with adults is the same message, to show adults that you don't have to be in the matrix. You don't have to be in the rat race.
Mm.
That it's about you looking to be your authentic self,
yeah,
being conscious of who you are. And the whole idea of being a conscious entrepreneur is being able to find out what your gifts, talents, and abilities are, and what contribution can you make to society, to your community. Mm. Yeah. And so it's a whole different narrative in terms of find your gifts, your talents, your abilities, find how you can develop that into a structure, yeah, as a service or a product, and then make money doing that. For me, that's really what it's all about. So we have some amazing people who are going to be guest speakers and who are going to be panelists talking about these three themes: business, money, and you. Because you see, my philosophy and what I'm sharing with people, my mission and what I'm wanting people to come to awareness that this, the old way of doing things was you chase the money and you do whatever you need to do to get the money. And I'm saying that there's a whole new way of doing things, and that's what we're going to be showing and proving by the people that are going to be on there. Imagine, I met someone who just 2 months ago, I met someone, first time I haven't seen him for about 20 years. And I showed him, I'm like, this is what we're doing. And he was like, yep, Tony, I'm going to move things around and I'm going to be there. That's because of relationship. That's what business is really about. Only to find out last week he's on the front cover of the London Chambers of Commerce magazine. Like, that's one of the biggest, most long-standing business institutions. And this is what we're, these are the kind of caliber of people that we're going to be having there. Another lady who, her name's Lucy, and she's going to be on there talking about personal development from a perspective of, she's written a book called the bold new normal. Again, the philosophy being that there's a whole new world that's forming,
yeah,
and you've got a choice. You can still be a part of the old world, which is dying, or you can be a part of the new world, which means that you need to educate yourself, you need to change your mind and learn about how things are evolving and maturing. So yeah, it's going to be a fantastic day.
So if anyone's listening, where is the event going to be, and how much are the tickets? And I know I'll be able to find where we can get the tickets from, which is from your website, correct?
Yes, absolutely.